and welcome to Marooned at Magabyte's headquarters, day 191. It's been one of those days. You'll notice it's quiet on the mic front. He's wrapping up a webinar. My day, chaotic. Absolutely chaotic. 5 o'clock. Well, if it never happens again, it'll be too soon. CQ Deb. Jonathan, in spirit only. Never let them overlook something. We are live. Fractionally. There's a long story. I'll tell you that one day. Hello, Paul. How is it down under? Yay, you can hear me now. Fabulous. Yes, 5 o'clock. Let me check my calendar. This was hysterical. It was a case of like, yeah, we've got to do that on Tuesday at 5. Yeah, we're doing that Tuesday at 5. One was Tuesday, 5:30. You know, just for a little bit of difference. But the 5 o'clock ran till 10 to 7, which meant that the 6 o'clock, don't ask. There was 9 things to be considered before 8 o'clock. In a 3-hour slot. Yeah. So, you can imagine how chaotic it is. But I am here now. Excellent. So what's going on with everybody else? Our news today, I've lost count of the number of lockdowns we're in. There's the local lockdown, the mini local lockdown, the other lockdown, the national lockdown. I don't know. But as I said in the mail, we're just going to break the doors up and call it done. In fact, you know when you say, how can you tell if a politician's lying? Their lips are moving. Boris says the new COVID restrictions could last 6 months, which means at least 12. Is there just me thinking, if he just left things be, we'd all be fine by now? But by releasing, you know, like letting the lockdown go a bit, people going on holiday, they were meeting up, there were marriages, you name it, and now look where we are. Or am I just looking at on the negative side of this? People's biggest complaint in the UK so far? They've got to uninvite 15 people from their wedding. I'm laughing, but it's not funny, is it? We have some friends. It's the son of these friends and his fiance. And the daughter of the same friends got married about 3 years ago at Christmas. 2 years last Christmas? Yeah, coming up to 3 years ago. Oh, it was the biggest wedding you have ever seen. Absolutely the biggest wedding I've ever seen. The church was full. It was one of those, I wouldn't say bridezillas, but bridezillas. You know, we're talking everything. She had everything. Right down to, and I did not know these were a thing, but you know, now I know they're a thing. Let me know if they're a thing where you are. Bride-to-be Wellington boots. Yeah, I wondered as well. But they went on some sort of retreat thing for the hen party, only it wasn't a party, it was a weekend. And they went up to this, like, I would say hotel, but it wasn't really. It was some kind of posh affair where there was like spas and stuff, but you actually stayed in cabins, hence the need for the Wellington boots. But there were glasses, there were Wellington boots, there was all sorts. And that was how the whole wedding went, you know, literally everything. There was nothing this girl did not have. The brother, on the other hand, has gone completely the other way. And his approach was, and this was because that was what the bride wanted, his mum and dad, his sister and her husband, and that's it. Anyway, they were due to get married in March. And I thought, well, you know, it shouldn't really affect them too much, should it? Because if they're only having a handful of people. But unfortunately, it was 5 days before the wedding when Boris said, right, that's it. So they put it off. They didn't have any choice whatsoever. They put it off. They didn't, when things eased off, put it back on. And I was quite surprised because I thought, you know, it was only a small wedding anyway, the 6-people limit would not have caused a problem. So why not just get on with it? But they didn't. They wanted to reschedule it and have exactly what they had before. And they've rescheduled it. They rescheduled it in July, I think, for 2 weeks away, which is not looking good. It's not looking good. And I thought, you know, why don't you just get on with it? There was a lovely story of a couple who got married. He was American. She lived, I think she lived here. She lived in England. And the rules were such that because they weren't married, she couldn't go to the States. Because they weren't married, he couldn't come here. So they were ringing around trying to find a way that they could actually get married and then they could be man and wife and live together. And this went on for months until in the end, she rang every council in the UK trying to sort this out, couldn't get anywhere. She ended up ringing one in Scotland. Now, the rules in Scotland are very, very different. That, hence the running away to Gretna thing. The main difference that meant people ran away to Gretna, it was twofold. You didn't need parental consent or a court order as long as you were over 16. But in England, you need a court order or your parents' permission if you are between 16 and 18. So the parental consent thing did not apply. The other thing that didn't apply was residency rules. So you can't just flit into the UK on Friday and get married on Saturday. You have to have lived here for 3 weeks. Scotland didn't have that. Now, they changed it fractionally a few years ago. So I think you need to be resident for 24 hours now. But obviously the issue with the COVID thing is people getting there and staying there for however long. And then they've got to self-isolate for 14 days and it all gets very complicated. And that they would not marry people who were not living there. Anyway, she gets onto this registrar. This must have been like the 70th that she'd spoken to. And the registrar ummed and ahed and went, leave it with me, I think we can do something. So the girl had to get from London to Scotland. I think it was Edinburgh they got married. The guy had to fly in from the States. They both had to quarantine for 14 days. And then this registrar actually married them. And I think there was like the two of them, the registrar and two witnesses, and that was it. But at least they were married, which meant they could then both fly back to the States, do their 2 weeks in quarantine there, and they're living happily ever after. But our friends, no, it's one calamity after another. Hello, Tracy. I am getting to everything, Tracy, but yes, I am hideously overwhelmed at the moment with my 9 sessions between 5 o'clock and 7 o'clock. Don't know how I did that. One of them was a full governor's meeting. That was fabulous. So yes, I had to be in 3-4 different places at once at the same time. Right. 5G iPhone just days away. Ooh, featuring Eddie Q. Good grief. Eddie Q looks a bit skinny on there. Is that really Eddie Q? Wow. Well, we'll find out, won't we? No extra events as far as I'm aware just at the moment. I do have a very useful shortcut for that right down the bottom of here. Or I did. Where have you gone? There it is. Oh, the icons are the same. No, nothing yet. It seems a little bit odd if it's literally days away. Because they'd want, that's their biggest event of the year. So, days away. I think that's a little bit odd. Would they announce that just with a video? Unlikely. It is their biggest thing of the year. So I don't think so. What do you think, Paul? You asked for a special license and then you only had to be there 48 hours. Oh, that's handy. Yeah, you can do the special license thing. That's usually in exceptional circumstances. And they said with this girl, it wasn't exceptional circumstances. And I'm thinking a global pandemic and she can't actually. The wedding had been arranged and they couldn't get to wherever the wedding was. That was the issue. It wasn't that they just suddenly decided, you know, let's get married on a whim. This had all been planned and they couldn't do it. But it all ended happily in the end. They got up to Scotland, sorted out. Bristol's beautiful, isn't it? Bristol and Bath. But I've only been there once, I think. BT telling employees a little bit early. I think it's at least a couple of weeks out. I think if it was going to be so quickly after that first event, they would have included it in that first event and just said pre-orders will be from a certain date and delivery will be at a certain date. The prospect of them doing that with no event, no, I'm not seeing it. I'm not. And an event, they would normally give you at least 7 days notice. So if it was going to be the 29th, that would be today. Now, the last time they did that, I think they announced it at either 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock our time. So there's still scope that they may announce it today. But I must think another 2 weeks after that. At least one, possibly two. Because otherwise it just didn't make sense to have two separate events. Because this event was so short. And I know there are many people saying, oh, it was, you know, it's just right, it's the right length of thing, and then they did it great. And I thought it didn't do it for me as much as the WWDC one. I thought that was much better produced. I thought the content was better. There was very much in this one a feeling of deja vu. We've seen this video before. And you know, you can get away with that in a 2 hour session, but in an hour, they've shown it you at the beginning, they're now showing it you like 40 minutes later, and then they're showing you a video that they showed you in June. It felt rushed in some kind of way. I mean, putting together an hour's video sounds so simple, doesn't it? But it's not. I'd rather go live for 3 hours than produce an hour of video, because you've got to think about the pacing and stuff. When you're live, you can react to people asking questions and things, or you get the feel of the audience, which they would in a live event. I will say, some of the people they've had speaking in live events over the last four or five years, not the best. They look incredibly nervous, which I completely understand. But they either need more rehearsal or they need to not do it until they feel more comfortable. One or the other. But that isn't what happened. And there was a lot of reading off the auto cue going on. And, you know, you can do that in a kind of people don't notice you're doing it kind of way. And the way that they were doing it, which was you could see their eyes moving, which, no, that's not my kind of event. The best presenter they've got by a mile is Craig. But you can't have Craig presenting everything. But if you choose to go the cast of thousands route in the presentation, they've got to be really good presenters or really good on video. And the fact that they flew over the campus and there was just no Apple staff there, it just felt really weird. That was my take on it. I would much rather have had, I guess it would probably have been better to put the whole lot together. They have put the watch and the phone together before, so why not do that? And if it was because it wasn't ready, then you have to question, well, why not leave the other one for 2-3 weeks? But they went the way they went, so all we can see. We can get married via Zoom. I believe you can. Yeah. You could always get married via proxy in the UK, which was somebody took your place at the actual wedding and you're like on the phone. And they're relaying what you've said. So I absolutely don't really see why we can't get married by Zoom. But can you imagine some of the registrars trying to deal with it? Oh, dear. If only they'll leave the statues alone. Well, at the moment, you know, that's less likely to cause grief. Just because we've got a 10 o'clock curfew. Apparently, as we've all said, the COVID stops at 10 o'clock. But Boris is speaking tonight. I've no idea what time Boris is speaking. He's talked to a parliament, so I believe. But do we have a time he's speaking? I'll tell you what, let's try and find the iPlayer with the news channel on it and see if they've got any news. No, I don't want to go to the news. I want to go to the news channel on the iPlayer. News, there we go. No, it's some garbage outside source, whatever. Oh, here we go. It's 8 o'clock. Okay, he's on at 8 o'clock with a BBC News special, a ministerial broadcast from the Prime Minister. Trouble is, they never look very ministerial, do they? But we're 45 minutes out from Boris, babes. I mean, he's only going to say the same, isn't he? Let's catch up over here. No, we haven't sorted the live banner out. There was an update to the system. We put a ticket in. That's when we found out there'd been an update to the system. They had not noticed that. So they had a look at it and they got back to us and said that they're looking at it. They had not noticed it was missing. Apologies for all that. They'll try and fix it. But it doesn't look like it's fixed yet. We would put the big red one back, but for the fact that Mike's wrapping up a webinar right now and I was in 9 sessions between 5 o'clock and 7 o'clock at the same time. I literally had like AirPods in one ear and a headphone on the other, and I was in the text chat on another. Never again. But I need to go back to bed. Oh dear. Right. If you can register a death over the phone, something could be done about marrying via Zoom. They could if they wanted to. I just think it's the will to do it. I'm still getting people, I don't know if you are, let me know, where you get onto somebody like the bank or the credit card or basically anywhere you ring. And you get, well, the thing is, we're working from home, so things aren't quite normal. It's a phone and you have a computer. Working from home isn't like, I've been doing it for years. Trust me, it's not that different. But the way they go on, you'd think they were saying, you know, I've been dropped on a desert island with nothing but 2 sticks and a glass of water. It's not that difficult. It's just the will to do it. He may be speaking tonight, but as usually won't be thinking. Oh no, Simon, you'll know exactly what to expect the minute he appears. There was an old thing on Yes, Prime Minister. And the Prime Minister wanted to say lots of new things and change things. And Humphrey was saying, if you're going to do that, you're going to have a very staid background. And vice versa, if what you were saying was, you know, rehashing old stuff, and you'd have like a jazzy tie on. So you can pretty much know what he's going to say before he starts. I mean, it'll just be like, it's your fault. You know, I did my part and I eased restrictions and look what you've all done. So now we're going back into this situation. And then if it doesn't improve, he could actually announce that circuit break. He could announce a 2-week circuit break tonight. But seeing as though he's already softened us up with the thing of the circuit break and the 6-month thing, people are calling it lockdown too, but I think he's going to try and have the best of all worlds, and I can't see it myself. That we've now got official government instruction that if you can work from home, you should work from home. Why didn't we just have that from the very beginning and leave it alone? Instead of which, we've had that thing about let's all go back to work, let's be careful on the public transport and all the rest of it. We've had all of that stuff. No good at all. Now I've got people sending me messages. Oh, long messages. Right. I will copy that and deal with that. Crying out loud. Right, what are we up to in here? Doesn't one of the partners need to be physically present? Yes, I believe they do for the traditional proxy thing. But there again, anybody could be on the end of the phone. So with Zoom, at least you would be able to see the parties and there would be a recording of it. So my brain couldn't process all of that one time. Yeah, mine was struggling, Kim. And obviously you can hear here, I've got another one. Looking for assistance with something, so I'll type that in when Mike comes back. Right. Now we know just to try it. If we're live, then 9 times out of 10 that the chat is there. Sometimes the chat stays a little bit afterwards. If we're premiering a MacBytes, then the chat would be there. But we would put a comment in it. Sometimes the chat has to be opened early, which it did tonight, because Mike's webinar started at 6 and I was in the middle of 9 sessions. So there was no way I could go in and start editing the website. And that is what we have to do. We have to go in and actually toggle something on and toggle something off. So that's an issue. There is this live banner that we used to have, the red one, but same principle. It's just above the chat and we have to go in and manually toggle it on and off. And we certainly don't want to be toggling the We Are Live on, you know, an hour before we're live. So I don't think there isn't an easy way. There isn't. The only automatic way is the way that we're doing it, but the live is missing. And it's also, I mean, I've got in my system that I'm sending to it that it's episode 191, and yet I'm seeing that it says episode 78. So there's literally at the moment nothing that we can do about it. We did have a different player, but that didn't have any kind of information on it. So Mike and I will have a discussion about it between the 3,000 sessions. In fact, my calendar on my Echo is sat next to me, and it's hooked up to my calendar. So the Echo, it's a one with a screen, and it shows me my upcoming appointments. And it's telling me right now, and it's 7:25 in the evening here, that I've got 14 more events today. So, yeah, I'm a bit busy this week. Why did I do this week? I mean, there are things I have no control over. At all. No control whatsoever. The full governor's meeting, no control. So I had to turn up for it. And it was like I was literally keeping one eye on it. And it was like, so can we all vote on that? Yeah, what are we voting on now? And then I'd got an email earlier in the day that was talking about every quarter, every school term, there are live sessions. It's like a PowerPoint presentation, basically, about changes and stuff like that. And I booked on them probably about 3 and 4 years ago, and I did all the sessions for everybody and then put the notes in. And this year it was, we'll do them via Zoom. And I've been saying they should be done via Zoom for years, because they're after school hours, they're after work hours, and you've got to drive, and sometimes it's like a 50-mile round trip. You could do these online. And I said this years ago. Anyway, they come around to my way of thinking. So they put one on online, but the others were live and they wanted to go to the live ones. And I'm like, are you kidding me? So that wasn't happening. Now they've taken them all online. And having got them all online, I mentioned that this email had come out. So this was my like contribution at the end. So I said, you know, they're looking for one volunteer from each school. And everyone just nodded in Zoom and said, are you volunteering then? So that got added to my calendar as well. But that's not for at least a week and a half. And it's at a stupid time for me. It's 2 o'clock in the afternoon when I don't actually have anything else booked at the moment. So I've got to try and keep that free. What a fiasco. I've no idea what these other 14 appointments are before midnight. I'll get there. I will get there. What I do need to do now is see what time is Mike actually finishing, because I'd have thought he'd be out by now. Ooh, 5 minutes. He'll be out in 5 minutes, which is just as well, because I'm trying to read this conversation. Oh, for crying out loud. What we'll do, Tracy, with this live thing is we'll put messages in. So like Mike said, you know, we'll be live at 7. And then I'm first in the chat. We will put a message every time it goes. We make that live. The first message will be when we are actually going live. So if people have started chatting away, scroll back up to the top one, and that will be the instruction as to where we're at the moment until we can get this live thing back. If we are both available at 7 o'clock, then we can put the other live thing up when we put the chat thing up. But it gets complicated. And you know, how do you do an update to the system and break that? I really don't know. Thing is, there are two systems. There are two radio systems. And one of them was the old one. I can't remember the name of it. And we were both on this system. And then a new system came out. And the thing with the old system was, the original one, it had the most hideous control panel. The back end of it, to do anything, was a nightmare. So after going through it a few times, and it's also very, very different, it's illogical by comparison to all the other back ends you would ever have seen to control anything. So I looked at it, and eventually I said to Mike, do you know what? Whatever. I said, you do it. So he took charge of all of that. I said, you've got far more time than I have to piddle around with that. Then we got this email about a new system, and they only had 10 slots on this new system. We looked at the control panel. It was like, oh, want. So we both dived in. I did one. I did the MacBytes one, and Mike did the Brooklands one. I switched everything on the MacBytes one. So we're using the new system. And the issue with that is, you know, it's that new that things like this break. But Mike kept both on for Brooklands on account of the fact he hadn't shifted all of the programs. So his would look different than this. In fact, I don't think it's the same player on Brooklands. We've got a choice on Brooklands, basically, but we don't have a choice on here. And the old system had no mechanism to show you where they were live or not. None whatsoever. So the one that's broken here is probably about as good as we're going to get until they fix it. So fingers crossed, they'll be thinking about it and sorting it out. Anyone watching the Tesla battery thing? Oh, Kim, what's this? Not heard about that one. Not yet. Nothing over here. All we've got is Boris, 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 Boris. The way things are going, this once in a 100-year pandemic will last for 100 years. Well, if Boris says 6 months, like I said, I'm thinking he's lying. He's lying. Because he actually did come out and say at the very beginning, you know, 12 weeks, we'll have it all sorted. Summer's back on. It'll be fine. And then as it approached the summer, it was like, well, we've got to be careful. But do you know what I mean? But now he's actually saying 6 months. I said to Mike, well, there's 12 for a start. And if it were more than 6 months, if it were 12, it would be September, October time next year. Let's be honest, that's flu season again. So when he says 6 months, he's looking at least 18. He is. So when Kim said 2 to 3 years a while back, I think you were spot on. Will it take 100? I'm hoping by then that idiots will either be, have infected themselves that much that they will be permanently immune. Or natural selection will have taken place. And I just hope that it's the people that are avoiding the rules, ignoring the rules, completely overriding them with their own sense of self-importance that actually do make up the natural selection, and not people who are trying to be so careful, staying at home, and then find themselves into a position that they do actually need to go out. You know, just for whatever reason, maybe they need to go to hospital or visit somebody in hospital, and before you know it, they're the ones that have got it and they're dead. That's what really annoys me. It's not the kind of thing where the people who are doing the stupid things are actually suffering for the stupid things. It's other people that are suffering. They have now started putting out, they've got a new tagline. Oh, Simon, what's the new tagline? Something face and space. Hands wash, face and space or something. But you see, you know, I'm all exhausted with their stupid taglines. I like the one that was like, just don't go out. Stay home. Full stop. That was simple. If we'd have all done that for 6 months, if people hadn't been having holidays and cross-pollinating diseases, we would not be in this mess now. What he's intending to say tonight, I really don't know, because he's already been on there twice with it. Shall we take it live? That's the one. Hands wash, face and space. I think so. It's something. Honestly, Simon, find the right words. But there was definitely face and space at the end. Because it rhymed. And I was just very, very grateful it didn't rhyme with anything else. What's the government COVID tagline? Let's have a look. There you go. Hands, face and space. This was unveiled, good grief, not that long ago, surely. Oh, there's a history here of slogans. This is fabulous. Oh, good grief. Boris is on at 8, Mike. Mike's...
I saw Boris.
It's all right, it's coming back. Stay alert, control the virus, saves lives. That one was a good one. We all had great fun with that. Here's the history of the slogans. So what is the very, very latest one? Wash hands, cover face, make space. There's a tweet from Boris. Give you all the information. What do they want you to do with your face? Cover it, apparently. Maybe they should mention a mask. Do you know, the one that says cover your face, there is a picture on this tweet, which was the 31st of July. I thought that that wasn't an official thing back then. No way was it. That is obviously something he tweeted. Hands, face and space. And now it's been turned into the tagline for September. But there you go. Ah, so how are you?
Fine.
Have you got anything to share with us?
No.
Well, can you find something? Because I've got to reply to this.
And oh, right.
It's about as long as your left leg.
Okay.
Boris is coming on. But can we have a summary of what Boris has said so far?
I could share my dog experiences.
Have you been dogging?
Yes. No, Lola's been doing mad zoomies.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, she's so cute.
And she's half knackered that...
new toy.
New toy. Yes.
Fair
there's a,
enough.
There's a big chunk out of it.
If it makes her happy.
Or a little chunk out of it. But she's had great fun. Yeah. I'm just going back and looking at the chat. So Johnny's stuck on a call with work.
He is, bless him.
Oh, poor Johnny.
Something got overlooked.
Something got overlooked, yes.
Oh yes. Dear, oh dear, oh dear.
I wonder if it was a bracket. So what else has happened? Deb heard the intro, then a bunch of silence.
Yes, there was an issue. I fixed it.
Okay. Then.
Sorted that out.
Right.
Yeah, well, the only thing that we've still got an issue with is this live banner,
right,
which is
well,
still not there.
I'll tell them.
They think they fixed it, do they?
No. No, they said tell me. So I will tell them. I've been to Bristol, Tracy. I stayed in a hotel in Bristol. And, yeah, I stayed in a hotel in Bristol and United were playing Leeds. And it was the days before each room could have their own Sky Sports. And so I had to go to the guy who owned the place. It was like a pub with a few rooms. I had to go to him and I said, there's a match on tonight. Do you mind sticking Sky Sports on? And that way it gets pumped through to my room, but it gets pumped through to everyone's room as well. So it's United Leeds. It was a rubbish game. And I goes down in the morning and he was serving breakfast. And he says, I don't know who you were supporting last night, but that game was bloody awful.
I remember that.
Yeah. Forgot which hotel it was. It was some little country pub hotel, I think.
I remember you asking him to put the game on.
Yeah. There was the other time where I took my own aerial.
Didn't you take the monkey box?
I took the monkey box and the aerial.
Yeah.
And I still couldn't get reception.
Things were bad back then. Oh, talking of which, there's a story about that. Go find it on the BBC.
What, monkey box?
No, not a monkey box. People in this village had...
Yeah, I was going to tell you that.
You tell a story then. That's a classic.
Yeah, people in a village. Was it in Wales?
I believe it was. But the person involved does not want to be known.
No, this village in Wales had broadband problems. And it was for like a couple of years.
At a very specific time.
Yeah,
started at 7 o'clock
say,
in the morning.
The engineers came out and they did all these tests. And every morning at 7 o'clock in the morning, the broadband went down or ended up being really, really poor. And it turned out that this person who said they want to remain anonymous for obvious reasons, every morning at 7 o'clock, they turned their TV on. And it was a very old TV. It was probably a valve set.
Probably.
And this TV caused the broadband to go down. So once they were apprised of the situation, they promised never to turn this TV on again.
They were mortified, though, weren't they?
The thing is, you couldn't even take it to the tip because then you'd be outed, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Unless you put it in a cardboard box.
But, you know, it does sound utterly ridiculous.
Yeah.
But it's no different than Dad coming over the phone, was
well,
it?
Well, that's true.
Yeah, so now you need to explain what a monkey box is to Kim.
I was just going to explain.
Hello, Anthony.
Monkey box was about 20 years ago? 15 years ago?
A monkey box?
Yeah.
Late 90s, I think.
It was a company called...
On Digital.
And what they did is they won the contract to broadcast some English games, football games, via satellite or something like that. And their adverts were a guy called Johnny Vegas, who's a well-known comedian in the UK, but he had this little pet monkey. Now, it wasn't a real monkey. It was like a stuffed
monkey.
It was
like a sock. Yeah, like with the face on.
Like a sock. but it became like a trademark thing, and you could buy these monkeys. So we used to call this box, because it was like a little box that you get, like a set-top box. I suppose it's like a bigger Apple TV, I suppose is the best way of describing it, or a Mac Mini in that kind of size. But we used to call it the monkey box. So I was going working away one day, and United were playing. So I took the monkey box with me, and a big aerial that I put in the hotel room to try and get reception, but I couldn't. So I ended up missing the match. So, yeah, that's what a monkey box is.
The thing was, it was one of those adverts. I mean, the fact it was a monkey, why was it a monkey?
I don't know.
It had absolutely nothing to do with it. But it just caught the imagination, you know, and it meant people just instinctively said it, the monkey box. They just knew what you meant. And yet it wasn't actually called that or anything like that. It's crazy.
I've no idea which hotel it was, Tracy. Can't remember.
Mike, every time Mike goes away, there's a calamity with the hotels, just saying. There was the one where there was the, you arrived late and they'd given you room away and you ended up having to go somewhere else.
Yeah.
Then there was the one where there was the fire alert and you were out there in your coat.
5 o'clock in the morning.
I mean, they just shouldn't charge you.
No.
Do you remember that one when I was in London sitting an exam? This one was bad. Can you imagine the night before an exam? You're like... wound up, aren't you? You are wound up. And I just needed to sleep. And it was very warm. It must have been June time, mustn't it? And it was really warm. We were at the top of this hotel near Russell Square. It was boiling, so we had to have the window open. But this hotel was the central docking point for people going... Was it the Imperial Hotel Group? They basically owned like 5 square miles of hotels around this central hotel. And people were arriving all hours of the day and night, coach loads full of kids. You know, when I say kids, teenagers. They were anything but quiet.
They were considering going on trips, weren't they? It was a central hub for those trips.
Yeah. They would go to like France for 3 days and then come back to London. It was the central location. But obviously it meant this thing was like Piccadilly Circus in rush hour, and we had to have the window open because it was just so hot, and I couldn't sleep at all. And the more you get annoyed about sleeping, the less you can actually sleep. So that one wasn't good. We moved from that one then, didn't we? Went to the Tavistock,
yeah,
that overlooked Tavistock Square where that bus got blown up. That one was as old as the hills. I won't say it was old-fashioned on the inside, but they filmed Poirot there and they didn't need to change anything. What other one was there? Oh, there was a calamity. You had more calamities than I did. Do you know every time we go to a hotel that's got these modern security key things where it's a card, the card never works. It works for like 5 minutes, doesn't it? And of course, we've got two. We have one each at that point. Mike will try his. I don't know if it's because we put them with our phone. It's the only thing I can think of. But they never work for 2 minutes together. So you're running about with this card, trying to get the card reactivated to get in your own actual room, which drives me insane.
Yeah, I think it's because I put it in my pocket with my phone.
I know, but who doesn't put the room key with their phone?
Exactly.
So when we got them reactivated for like the ninth time, I said, I'm going to put mine in one of these little like envelope things. You know what are they called? RFIDs. Is it RFID? It's an envelope that you put your credit card in and it can't get skimmed, basically. So I had to take my credit card out of it so I could put the hotel key in it. Ridiculous. So now you can skim my credit card, but at least I can get in my room. Ludicrous. Don't get me going. Jonathan! Hello! They'll all tell you, Jonathan, my day was the same. I had 9 sessions to deal with between 5 o'clock and 7 o'clock. Oh, and I actually managed to eat a little bit of salad while I was at it, because then I remembered I'd not eaten. Oh, Kim, I need the pandas. I need the pandas for at least an hour. Oh, good grief. Right, what else is going on? Anthony knew someone at university, apparently brought down the Leeds telephone system by plugging in non-approved modem. Oh, fabulous. With us here, it was my father. He was a radio amateur, as you know, CQ, Deb. And he always wanted to use more power than he was supposed to use. Rationale was he wanted to get further. So he could, the idea being he would be able to talk to people from further away. And every time he upped the power, he would disturb one of two things, either the TV reception or the telephone. Now, this is back in the day when, probably all through the 90s, wasn't it?
Mm.
To the early 2000s. From at least, from me meeting Mike, so 1992, to at least 2003, I would say to my mother, he's coming over the phone again. So Mike and I would be trying to have a telephone conversation on the nights we didn't see each other. And all you could hear was my dad going, CQ, CQ, CQ. And we were in fits. But, you know, it wasn't actually funny because you couldn't talk to each other. So every time it happened, I said to Mum, he's coming over the TV again. It's coming over the TV again. Or he's coming over the phone. It was my TV was coming over, not hers. So she didn't actually see it. And I would say, well, the thing is, my TV is on a level with his antenna. So his broadcast antenna was on the side of the house and my TV was in my bedroom. So that was why it was coming over. And the phone, he could come over the phone literally all the time. And she was like, well, use it later. Yeah, I don't think she thought it was that bad. Until the day that she was at Mike's and she rang me. And it was like a bank holiday or something, or the weekend, and Dad was on his radio. So she's talking to me about which paint and what brushes she wants. And all of a sudden, Dad came on. CQ, CQ, CQ. And she said, what's that? I said, Dad. And she went, well, where is he? I said, in his radio room, playing with his radios. Why? So she says, well, I can hear him. I said, Mum, for 8 years I've been telling you he comes over the phone. And she went, well, she was about to say something, and then Dad said, CQ, 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 G0IIM, CQ. So when she got a chance to speak, she went, that loud? And I said, oh yeah, clear as a bell. I said, I don't know why he spends £5,000 on a radio. I said, because it's as clear as a bell without, you know, I can pick him up on a telephone. Well, that was it. He never did it again. She wouldn't have it. But what you needed to do was put graphite rings on the cables. So if you can imagine your TV aerial, the old style aerial that was on your roof, you had to feed that aerial cable through a set of what looked like washers, only they were metal. They were made of graphite. And you had to wrap the cable around the graphite, and the graphite would you know, try and keep out the radio signal. And you had to do that on the power cable. But that's why radio hams need to be licensed, because if something happens locally, if somebody is coming over something, they need to know in the area who is that likely to be? Now, obviously, with the TV, which it was in the Wales case, less significant. Everybody's got a TV licence. But the radio amateurs, that's why they're licensed. Oh, it was...
I'll tell you a story about software bugs, Johnny.
They didn't prosecute him. They were too embarrassed. A first-year computer studies student could unintentionally take down the network. Brilliant. Love that. Where you go?
We use a system at work called ServiceNow. It's not an AZ system. It's a commercially available system. It's used by a lot of companies for logging help desk tickets. But part of it is used by our team. So what we do is we put all the training courses in there. So we use it as our scheduling database, and then people book on the courses and the details are logged in the system. So it's basically a database on the back end. And they did something, must have done it this week, some improvement, some bug fix, and it's broken something else. And basically, when we as trainers go in and schedule a session, or when people book on a session, it automatically generates an email, well, a meeting invite that goes into their calendar that they can just accept. But for some reason, these meeting invites don't have the course title on. So it's just a meeting invite that says the date, the time, the team's details, and that's it. So people don't know what course they've booked on. It was yesterday, this woman mailed me after the training and said, sorry I didn't make your course. She was booked on the course. She said, I'm sorry I didn't make the course. Something came up. And when I looked at my calendar, it doesn't tell me what the course title was. And I'm thinking, what are you talking about?
You blaming operator error there?
And then somebody else posted on to our teams this morning and said, I've just been scheduling all my courses. And has anyone else come across this problem? And it clicked then. Yeah.
You know, it's actually interesting. I'm on this course. This course is a singular course, as it were. But within it, there are individual sessions. And, you know, Mike and I have organised things like this. So it's interesting to see it from the perspective of being an attendee. So there are 10 sessions, but there are also extra sessions. And the extra sessions are all across the calendar in terms of time, because the extra sessions, the main core sessions are all at 2 o'clock in the morning. Now, obviously, that's a great time in America. It's not bad in Australia, I don't believe, but it's not great for Europe. So to kind of mitigate the fact that the main sessions are at 2 o'clock in the morning, they've put these extra sessions on, and the extra sessions are all across the time zones. There are, I think there's 16 extra sessions in a week. But instead of having like a repeating Zoom room or a single Zoom room, they've set up every one of these sessions as a separate bookable event, which is fine because it gives you, you know, a direct link and no one's, you know, like you've had, you pitch up for a meeting and somebody else is already in the room. Mm. Yeah, you don't have any of that stuff, which is great. But the issue with it is you then have to book on these sessions. And yes, Zoom are a bit better than your system. You do actually, so you go to the Zoom, I'm sure we've all done it a million times. You go to the Zoom booking page, you put in the minimum information, which it does remember across sessions. So literally you should only have to click book or okay, whatever the button is at the bottom, confirm. It then takes you through to a confirmation page. And on the confirmation page, there is a bit where you can click to add to calendar. And it opens up a drop down. And on the drop down, you've got, I think it's three options. There's Google Calendar, Microsoft Calendar, and download an ICS, I think. Now, Yahoo is one calendar. I mean, does anybody use Yahoo Calendar? Unless it's some kind of fundamental style of calendar these days, like an ICS is. I don't know. Anyway, I did that for the first one. So I'm here I am, good to go. comes on to book the second one. And obviously I'm booking all these sessions for like 2 weeks. Well, I got to about number five and it wouldn't add it to the calendar anymore. So the bit that added it to the calendar was broken. So I thought, oh, for crying out loud. So I then had to download them as ICS files. Added another two or three to the calendar. And at which point it clearly thought that I was a bot. So then it started showing me the confirmation thing. You know, when you get like a capture. Now, the thing with the capture was, the capture wasn't just a photo. You know, that thing of look through the grid. It wasn't a look through the grid, thankfully. It was a capture that was a GIF. So it was moving. So this thing, if you were in any way epileptic, even if you weren't before, you would be after. This thing's flashing at you. So then I've got to put in the capture for everyone I'm trying to book on. In the end, the capture stopped working. So the capture, which I knew was a GIF, instead of it continuing to rotate, because it lit up, if you can imagine, this is the worst capture in the world, isn't it? It lit up each individual letter in the capture in a sequence. So the first one lit up, and then the second, the third, fourth, fifth, sixth, and then it went back to the first. But if that isn't playing, if it plays through once and then stops and won't replay, you can't actually see the capture. I cannot tell you how long it took me to actually just get booked on these webinars. And I'm like, feedback form. Now, obviously, it's something that Zoom is doing and not the course themselves. But it struck me that, you know, they'd come up with a system and they'd put it in place, but they had not tested it more than like, oh, I've booked on one, it's fine. But when you try and book on the lot, nightmares happen. I think I've got them all right. But I'm now going to have to check on a day-to-day basis that I actually have. It's ridiculous. Is Boris up for 8 o'clock?
No idea.
Shall we listen to him?
I was going to make dinner.
Oh, we might have to wait for Boris to have a good laugh. Well, I've had a laugh like that in years. Because I want Simon's alternative commentary. If you could sort that out, Simon, that would be fabulous. We do this live. Oh, poor Jonathan. Poor Jonathan. So is it fixed now? It's all good. Ooh, SQL Server. Ooh. I trained on that, didn't I? And I got qualified in it. Yeah, I'm a Microsoft certified database administrator in SQL Server. There you go. Is it bad that I can't even remember what the title is? Never mind actually doing it anymore. Oh, well. Mongo. Some of the names of this new stuff is amazing. I was actually on a session, as you know, between 5 o'clock and 7 o'clock. There was the guy doing it is age 26, I think. He might have been talking another language. We had, it's dope. Oh yeah, it's sick, that. And I thought sick when I was 20 had a totally different meaning. And I'm thinking, I'm going to need the Urban Dictionary here. Sick apparently means awesome. As does half of the other words he was using. Dope means awesome. Do you know, I really respected this guy before we started the session. And at the end of the session, I was like, somebody needs to grow up a bit and use normal language. You know, because otherwise you are segmenting your audience to somebody who can actually follow that's not even colloquialisms, is it? It's just stupid words that don't actually mean that to the majority of the population. So if you want to limit your audience to people under 30, fine. But, you know, the rest of us may actually find some use in what you've got to say, but we can't understand what you're saying. The thing was, when he puts videos out and stuff, totally different. Proper language. But we had all kinds of things thrown in, like, yeah, it was a good sesh. Then it was, oh yeah, that sesh was sick. And I'm thinking sesh, session, sick. Is that good or is that bad? So yeah, somebody needs a translator. Oh, not a proper one like Tracy, obviously. Just one who can translate complete garbage into English. Oh, Simon's been scripting. No, Keyboard Maestro is quite expensive, isn't it? But it's what fixes everything else. It's the app that fixes everything else. I did programming on Windows, but I actually find the Mac a much nicer platform to work with. You think of tables and chairs as objects, not the stuffing code. Ooh.
Well, that's how I explain objects.
Yeah, I was thinking that. You do.
When I'm doing VBA.
Is it a car and the number of doors it has and the colour that it is?
I use iPhones.
Ooh.
Yeah. I have a slide that's got an iPhone on it, and that's the object. And then the properties are its colour and its amount of memory and its manufacturer. And its methods are switch on and off. So on and so on.
I see Boris. Who's that guy he's with? He's in a suit, so it's not Cummings. Shall we share the Boris thing? Shall we have a good old laugh? I mean, he isn't going to talk for more than 5-10 minutes, is he? Hopefully not. Mind you, we can always shut him up, can't we? Right, let's hook Boris up. Where are we now? Oh, he's disappeared again. Tell you what, we'll change that to the ITV. And we'll take him on the ITV. That's what we'll do. We've still got 3 minutes before he does pretty much anything. So let's see if we can... Oh, are they cutting... Are they dumping EastEnders or going in early? Looks like they've dumped EastEnders. Right, we'll take it on the news channel just in case. The lady's outside. She's outside. And I can hear her, which is always good, isn't it?
Is he saying anything different to what he said at lunchtime?
I don't know. Maybe he's turning it into language people can understand. Because if he starts with, the pubs are closed from 10 o'clock, he'll have people's attention. Trust me on that. Right, are you talking, lady? Oh, she is. Right, so let's change the input on here. And I'll shut up while we listen to Boris. Let's all have a laugh. But do put your comments in the chat. Especially Simon. Oh, it'd be fabulous, Simon. Right, at the moment, she's not saying anything. But we'll turn her on when she is. She's talking to Hugh. Oh, keeping up appearances. We love that. We absolutely adore that here. Yes. You always thought dope was drugs. I think dope has come to mean good. Because when you're on dope, dope is good. That's the only thing I can think of. But it's very difficult to follow. You can manage one or two words and you think, oh, that must mean that, and that must mean that. But it's like translating on the fly. So when he like strings together five words and they all have different meanings to the actual usual meanings, you've got to translate it and then you're losing track of the next sentence. And you're thinking... Is there a need to talk like that when you are in a session where you could have any gender, any age, any ethnicity, any different, you know, different languages as a first language? I mean, one of the people doing the sessions is Spanish and she's struggling with some of the words. One was, it sounded like conception, the word, and she was using it in a way that wasn't traditionally British or English, but I kind of got what she meant. And then she actually looked the word up and she said, oh, it's spelt the same, but the meaning might be fractionally different. Very, very difficult. But, you know, that's where you're trying to substitute one word for another word or you don't actually have that word. That there isn't that word. One of them I was going to actually ask Tracy about, but I can't remember for the life of me what the word was. So I'll find the word and then I'll ask Tracy. But it was a Spanish word and there wasn't an equivalent. Oh, Boris is on.
David Moyes has got coronavirus.
We're taking Boris.
This disease has killed almost 1 million people and caused havoc to economies everywhere. Here in the UK, we mourn every person we have lost and we grieve with their families. And yet I'm more certain than ever that this is a struggle that humanity will win, and we in this country will win. And to achieve what we must, I want to talk to you directly tonight about the choices that we face, none of them easy, and why we must take action now. I know that we can succeed because we have succeeded before. When the sickness took hold in this country in March, we pulled together in a spirit of national sacrifice and community. We followed the guidance to the letter. We stayed at home, protected the NHS, and saved thousands of lives. And for months, with those disciplines of social distancing, we've kept that virus at bay. but we have to acknowledge that this is a great and freedom-loving country, and while the vast majority have complied with the rules, there have been too many breaches, too many opportunities for our invisible enemy to slip through undetected. The virus has started to spread again in an exponential way. Infections are up. Hospital admissions are climbing. We can see what's happening in France and Spain. And we know, alas, that this virus is no less fatal than it was in the spring, and that the vast majority of our people are no less susceptible. And the iron laws of geometrical progression are shouting at us from the graphs that we risk many more deaths, many more families losing loved ones before their time. And I know that faced with that risk, the British people will want their government to continue to fight to protect them, you. And that's what we're doing night and day. And yet the single greatest weapon we bring to this fight is the common sense of the people themselves, the joint resolve of this country to work together to suppress COVID now. So today I set out a package of tougher measures in England. Early closing for pubs, bars, table service only, closing businesses that are not COVID secure, expanding the use of face coverings, new fines for those that fail to comply, once again asking office workers to work from home if they can, while enforcing the rule of six indoors and outdoors. A tougher package of national measures combined with the potential for tougher local restrictions for areas already in lockdown. I know that this approach, robust but proportionate, already carries the support of all the main parties in Parliament. After discussion with colleagues in the devolved administrations, I believe this broad approach is shared across the whole UK. And to those who say we don't need this stuff and we should leave people to take their own risks, I say these risks are not our own. The tragic reality of having COVID is that your mild cough can be someone else's death knell. And as for the suggestion that we should simply lock up the elderly and the vulnerable, with all the suffering that would entail, I must tell you that this is just not realistic. Because if you let the virus rip through the rest of the population, it would inevitably find its way through to the elderly as well, and in much greater numbers. That's why we need to suppress the virus now. And as for that minority who may continue to flout the rules, we will enforce those rules with tougher penalties and fines of up to £10,000. We will put more police out on the streets and use the army to backfill if necessary. And of course, I'm deeply spiritually reluctant to make any of these impositions or infringe anyone's freedom. But unless we take action, the risk is that we will have to go for tougher measures later, when the deaths have already mounted and we have a huge caseload of infection, such as we had in the spring. If we let this virus get out of control now, it would mean that our NHS had no space, once again, to deal with cancer patients and millions of other non-COVID medical needs. And if we were forced into a new national lockdown, that would threaten not just jobs and livelihoods, but the loving human contact on which we all depend. It would mean renewed loneliness and confinement for the elderly and vulnerable, and ultimately it would threaten once again the education of our children. We must do all we can to avoid going down that road again. But if people don't follow the rules we've set out, then we must reserve the right to go further. We must take action now, because a stitch in time saves nine. And this way, we can keep people in work, we can keep our shops and our schools open, and we can keep our country moving forward while we work together to suppress the virus. That is our strategy. And if we can follow this package together, then I know we can succeed, because in so many ways, were better prepared than before. We had the PPE, we have the beds, we have the nightingales, we have new medicines pioneered in this country that can help save lives. And though our doctors and our medical advisors are rightly worried about the data now and the risks over winter, they are unanimous that things will be far better by the spring, when we have not only the hope of a vaccine, but one day soon, and I must stress that we're not there yet, of mass testing so efficient that people will be able to be tested in minutes so they can do more of the things they love. That's the hope. That's the dream. It's hard, but it's attainable, and we're working as hard as we can to get there. But until we do, we must rely on our willingness to look out for each other, to protect each other. Never in our history has our collective destiny and our collective health depended so completely on our individual behaviour. If we follow these simple rules together, we will get through this winter together. There are unquestionably difficult months to come, and the fight against COVID is by no means over. And I have no doubt, however, that there are great days ahead. But now is the time for us all to summon the discipline and the resolve and the spirit of togetherness that will carry us through.
That was a ministerial broadcast by the Prime Minister. You're watching BBC News. Stay with us for...
That was fabulous. I didn't know he'd finished at the end till the video stopped. So, what did he actually say?
We're still going on here.
No, he's finished here.
I think I'm behind.
I think you are the spirit of togetherness. There are no words. Unfortunately, on audio, you didn't get the full benefit of him leaning forward and banging the table. So, how confident are we all feeling now, then? I'm not actually sure he did say anything at all.
He didn't say anything new.
Well, you tell I'm finishing my dinner. That was lunch if everyone had their own. No, all of that had been said before. So, yesterday he announced more restrictions. Today he went to the Commons and said exactly the same. And he's just said exactly the same to us now tonight. Fabulous. So what's he actually doing? No idea, Paul. Answers on a postcard. We must all be... But what was that thing in the other one? God, the middle tagline. Alert. We must all be alert. But he did quote my grandmother, "Stitch in time saves nine."
He said that earlier.
You can't say that.
Said that at lunchtime.
You can't say that and be taken seriously. Oh, Boris. I'd have admired him more if he'd have actually said, "We made a mistake." If he puts the army out on the streets, Kim, there'll be a riot. I don't mind if he puts the army out on the streets, but I think that would be the tipping point in the UK for what you're experiencing in the States. People in the States seem to be complaining about things that go against the Constitution, things they think are unconstitutional. Over here, we don't particularly have that as a feeling, but people do get really narky at the thought of the army on the streets. Probably my generation remember pictures of the army on the streets in Northern Ireland. So, yeah, he would not dare put the army out on the streets. He wouldn't. And the police can't cope, but it is. And for years and years, it's always police cuts and bringing in more paperwork. So if you arrest somebody, it's like that's the rest of the day gone, filling in the paperwork. But he said absolutely nothing. He didn't even reiterate what the new restrictions were. So I have no idea what all that was about. I would love to see a transcript and highlight the bits that were like, okay, so now I know something I didn't before. But I don't think there was anything there that we didn't know before, because he didn't actually say anything. I'm not going to hear about this. Trump does it anyways. Right, let's go back a bit. Get the army on the streets, get them in the shops, on-the-spot fines for people who don't comply. Arrest them if they don't. Yeah, one step away from shooting them, Jonathan, and yes, I'm more than willing to volunteer for that job. But, again, if he'd have just not let every... The 4th of July here, because it was the 4th of July, if it had been like the 26th of June or the 20th of July, we wouldn't have had all the papers saying it's Independence Day. It was as if we've licked it, that's it, back as you were. And that was what caused the problem. And I will never understand encouraging people to go abroad on holiday. That I will never understand. The schools are... I mean, you had a website up, didn't you?
Yeah, I was just looking for
And there's
it.
So many schools being affected.
It's even the news website.
They're trying not to let the figures get out, to be honest. Trump does it anyway, stuff against the Constitution. I always find it very strange. You know, we do not have a written constitution in the UK. We have an ever-evolving constitution based back. We do have the concept of constitutional law and administrative law, which... like a kind of different sides of the same coin. But we don't have a written constitution to attempt to interpret them against, which means it's always a bit difficult. But the decisions always seem to work out well in the end. But in the States, they do seem to be arguing about, I guess, pushing the constitution as far as they can in different regards. And as an outsider watching it, it's like, but surely the Constitution's rules, and we all stick to the rules, and then everything's fine. And they always seem to find some kind of loophole or something they'd not thought of, and then, like, all bets are off. Can't they just agree on what's right in regard to this? I mean, how can staying at home, as far as humanly possible, offend anybody? I'll appreciate there are people for whom staying at home is not safe. We've discussed that before. People... in abusive relationships or whatever. And obviously they need help. But generally speaking, I mean, we even took the homeless off the streets. It was amazing that we could do that in the middle of this. I mean, where are they now? I've no idea. And he is just saying, no, we're not quite back in lockdown yet. But if you don't behave yourselves, then we will be. So make sure you leave the pub at 1 minute to 10. I don't get that. And also, you've got... he only very, very infrequently does a kind of address to the nation. And when you do, you need to be absolutely clear about what you're saying. He should have just gone through what the rules actually are and given you an idea of, you know, this is how it's going to be for a minimum of 2 months. I will review it then at the end of 4 months, blah, blah, blah. Instead of which it was all, well, wishy-washy and hazy. Homeless set fire to the temporary housing provided for them. I mean, you just couldn't make it up, could you? I remember way back at the beginning, I'm sure I mentioned this, when they were trying to formulate the original rules that came into effect in the UK on the 23rd of March, they had at the table the scientific people, they had the medical people, they had the legal people, and they had behavioural scientists. And I'm like, what is a behavioural scientist? And it was... basically like a sociologist with an O-level. And they could predict people's behaviours. If not individual people, then in a kind of 40% of people will this and 10% of people will do that. And I thought, what on earth do they need to be there for? Because they're formulating rules. Just stick to them. It's not a case of 10% won't. Make them. Like Jonathan's saying, put the police out there. Make them. And then we wouldn't be in this mess now. But as it's gone on, I've thought, those behavioural scientists, yeah, could do with getting them out of mothballs and having another look at what they've got to say. Because people are behaving in ways I would not have believed. Not even, you know, wise. Just not possible. But they are. Like setting fire to the temporary housing. It makes no sense. Oh, the army had... Australia used the army to support the test and making sure people were in the homes and then isolating. Didn't have any issues. I think you might, in this country, Paul, I think the way it is at the moment, you might. Not everywhere, obviously. Probably more larger states, I would have thought. and it would probably be quite dangerous for the police involved. Generally speaking, in most areas, you probably wouldn't have any problem. I don't know if people would respect the army anymore. But again, if this had been done back in March, if they'd have scared the pants off people in March, you would have had fewer deaths, fewer infections, and we wouldn't be in this mess now. If all of that had been done then. And what he's actually saying now, apart from the fact he didn't actually say anything in that piece, the rules are already out there from elsewhere. But what he's now saying is, well, it's not as strict as it was before, but it's getting worse. And you're like, well, why don't you just put us back where we were? He's wasted. He put the furlough scheme in place, probably April, and said it would run to the end of August and then October. But that furlough scheme has been running June, July, August, September, October. What for? He sent people back to work. Now, if we end up in a situation where we're in lockdown again, can they afford to put the furlough scheme back in place? If not, if it would bankrupt the country, then why did you let people go on holiday in the middle of them being on furlough? Utterly unbelievable. Unbelievable. There are a lot of unhappy people in the US these days. That's the impression I get when I see your news, Paul, that there's a lot of factions. There was a lady on this course that I'm taking, and she was talking about going on holiday, that she felt she needed a couple of days break. And wherever she was, I think she was maybe one or two states away from Idaho, which I have no idea where Idaho is. But it was Idaho she was thinking of going to, and it was a small, villages, town? It's a small town in Idaho. But she said she preferred to go somewhere else, and where I don't know wherever the else was, because she didn't feel very welcome. She didn't think it was a safe place for her to be. And I'm thinking straight away, you know, oh, Idaho's next to Washington. That would be right then, Kim, because she works at an educational establishment in Washington. So, yes, she must be near there, though. And when she said she didn't feel it was safe, I instinctively thought she's a lady on her own. So she was talking about booking a motel room and like getting away from it, just getting some space to do her stuff. And that she would rather have gone the other way because they were more tolerant. And I'm at a total loss here with like tolerant of women. I'm confused. And then I twigged. And she said when she got there, there were bumper stickers on cars and they made her feel very uncomfortable. And that was the moment it clicked, because we don't really have bumper sticker culture here, do we? Not as like a badge of honour, I'm with this group.
No.
We have like Sharon and Fred on the front of a
She's
car.
She's got one next door.
Has she?
Yeah.
What's that say?
I solemnly swear that I'm up to no good.
Oh, right. I've seen ones that say a dog's not just for Christmas, it's for life. But we don't have, if you were to put
a bumper... yourself one that said MUFC the religion.
True, but you'd have got away with that. No, I have no idea what the precise wording of these bumper stickers was. But I then twigged what the issue was. She was black. So now when I say black, very light skinned, but obviously black. And these bumper stickers were to do with that. And I thought, if you stuck something on a bumper in the UK that was racist in any way, shape or form, you'd be arrested. Simple as that.
That's why I've not stuck my Catania one up.
I think you get away with that. No, seriously, I've seen it happen. So, you know, there's many, many reports. People put something about, you know, something they might tweet on their car and they're arrested. One of them had something on the car, like a sticker like that, and three police officers surrounded them and stood there while they scraped it off before they'd let them go. It's a crime here. But to think that there are people too scared to visit a particular state, yeah, that's bad, isn't it? That is bad. Oh, yeah, it's obviously a thing, isn't it? Bumper stickers for everything. We don't really. There are a few. Many, many of them are charities or organisations that you support. Things like, you know, the dogs are for life, not just Christmas. You can get bumper stickers, but it's not a big thing. You will see things around some people put things in the windows about politics, don't they? But again, not many.
Yeah.
Because you're too scared of having your windows put in, no matter who you support. And to be honest, you look at who's standing and you think, nope, can't support any of them. But no, the bumper sticker thing, not huge, but she felt so uncomfortable just a few miles from home that she didn't actually want to go to this particular town. She wanted to go to a different one. I thought, that's awful. I mean, in the UK, we have areas that I wouldn't recommend you visit. But that would be like gang culture on an estate. It wouldn't be a particular genre of person. There are some that... Who was that politician in America? It could have been Trump, actually, when he was trying to get elected. And he said, you can't walk the streets of Birmingham in the UK. And we were just laughing like drains. There are areas in Birmingham that are very ethnically not diverse. And you would probably be wise not to. But not that you couldn't. Not that it was like barricaded off. And there are lots of integration stuff trying to go on as well, where a lot of synagogues need to have security outside during their services. And obviously they self-police. But the Christians and a lot of Muslims are supporting each other. So when they're in church, the Muslims are outside, you know, securing the churches, and the Christians are outside the mosques, securing it for the Muslims while they're at prayer. It's not quite as black and white as Trump tried to make it look, which was ridiculous. But, you know, he says it and he gets away with it. Once he said it, that's it, becomes the truth. You know, many places in large cities where whites are not welcome as well. We do have that, like I've just said, we do. You would be looked at as like, you know, are you police or something like that. But it's not quite at the point, I don't think, where you'd have bumper stickers about it. Honestly, you wouldn't. You would be... The police would deal with it. Someone would report you and it would be deemed a hate crime and it would be dealt with straight away. You know, do you remember that time in Liverpool? What was the full story of that? Didn't a guy, wasn't he on Facebook at the time? And he pegged. So we think this...
No.
There was a guy, and I think he was on Facebook, and he was talking to a friend and he was saying how he didn't feel well. And... I'm trying to think if it was the same one or if there's two stories, I'm getting confused. But ultimately what happened was this, there was a dead body. And somebody told the police in Liverpool, don't you remember?
Oh, is this the one they didn't get to for
3 days?
Yeah, I was going to say 3 weeks.
3 days before the police turned up to find this dead body. You're thinking, really? But if it's a bumper sticker, they'll be on it in 5 seconds. I don't know if it's because it's got like more exposure, but yeah, it took them 3 days to get to this dead body. They got criticised for that, I can assure you. If you have a Trump bumper sticker, they'll key your car. Would that happen here? I think there are parts of Manchester, if you said you were a Tory supporter, you probably would get that. But then over here, nobody in their right minds would put a bumper sticker on the car to say what politics they were. You just wouldn't. Politics here is a more private affair, much more private affair. There are people, as I say, who put like a poster in the window, but usually around the time of the local elections. And you may choose to vote differently in the local elections than the nationals. Now, you might be thinking that's a bit odd. The Tories, generally, that's the Conservatives, the one who's in power at the moment, Boris and his crew. They tend to tax less at a local level. So many people will vote for them at a local level, but they would rather not at a national level. So, and there's a lot of tactical voting goes on as well. So, I mean, it's all so confusing. But no, the bumper sticker ideology, no. Although it could happen. I mean, everything else has come over from the States, like proms and Halloween and stuff like that. So it could well happen. You've walked through predominantly black areas in Bristol many times. And never felt threatened. It's all right, I got the never first. However, white upper middle class bankers at Barclays Lloyd robbed me of over £10,000. That's it here. It's more of a class thing, isn't it? And I don't think the rest makes much difference. It's a them and us between the haves and the have-nots, or the ones who have far too much and the rest of us. Yeah. No, I'm trying to think. No, I wouldn't. I couldn't particularly point to one particular place where you would feel as bad as this lady did, whether she, you know, visiting this town. And it wasn't like, I mean, she obviously really felt it, so she wouldn't particularly go to a town that was like 100% against us. But she must have felt that any town in this locality was likely to be quite antagonistic. And you can feel it. Must admit, I felt like that. I've been told that when you go to Scotland, if you don't have a Scottish accent, they can be quite sniffy with you. And I thought, well, there's no point trying to put a Scottish accent on because I'm terrible with accents. But I thought, I'll just be normal and just say hello to people, you know, and if you've got an English accent, you've got an English accent. And I went into this post office to deal with my VAT return. He used to do it on paper. It was very quaint. And obviously, English accent, asked for a stamp, asked for a certificate of posting. They were as nice as pie. And I thought, you know, why were people going on? And I'm sure there are pockets of places, very, very remote, but they're probably reacting to the way that they've been treated. And I believe, you know, if you treat people well, they will treat you well. But I think if there's a bumper sticker involved, you've got a kind of idea of how they're feeling before you get there. And that's going to put your back up. And then there is no dialogue, is there? It's all so polarised and there's just no dialogue. Hopefully some good will come out of this COVID thing and we'll all actually be able to get on with one another a little bit better. Anthony's always found everyone in Scotland friendly. Exactly. I've never had a problem. Even during the late 70s, there was a thing in Wales. They were firebombing. You mentioned this the other day, didn't you? They were firebombing second homes in Wales. And we were going to like North Wales. And Mum was like, you know, be careful. But they were lovely. And I can understand, I mean, I wouldn't condone firebombing, you know, second homes. But you can understand they have their families and their families grow up and they need to buy a house. And the price of housing is shooting skywards because people are buying up towns to rent out the second homes and stuff. Of course they're annoyed. Of course they are. It's too colonial for their liking. But on a one-to-one level, you know, as you go in and you say hello and clearly you've got an English accent, they're absolutely fine. So a lot of it is like hyped up in the media as well, but need to be a shining beacon for hope, don't we? We all do. You're very tribal. Black, Hispanic, white, Asian, LGBTQ, University of Washington. I didn't know there was a Washington, Oregon thing going on. Good grief. And everyone seems to hate upper and middle class white men. Hey, at least they've got a commonality there. They've got something in common. Oh, it's shocking, isn't it? It's absolutely shocking. There was a town in Poland. Did you read that? It's on the BBC.
No. Oh, I saw the headline.
It was this town in Poland, and apparently it rolled out across one town, and then it rolled out across the country. Obviously, Poland being a very Catholic country, and also very mindful of the when they were ruled by Russia, they've got this thing that they don't like the LGBTQ community. And they've got this thing with stickers. So again, stickers, problems, stickers. They've got this thing where it's like a rainbow with a warning across it and a red line through it. And it's basically, we are like a straight town. LGBTQ, not welcome. And you think, how do they get away with it? But it's something that's been adopted and it's spreading like wildfire. And I'm thinking, how could you possibly discriminate against somebody on any basis? But to be sticking stickers up about it, I don't get it. I don't get it. I really don't. But what do I know? They're the tossers who delivered Brexit. Tell me about it, Simon. Have you noticed? Once he started getting into sticky waters with his Brexit, all of a sudden the COVID things hit again. Just saying. Didn't they say that about, I can't remember which one. When Clinton was in trouble over the Lewinsky affair, that he then caused a war somewhere to kind of divert attention. It's shocking, but you know, you'll look back at history and think, oh, that was handy, you know, that it happened at just that point. Kim Kim loved rainbows had a sticker on her car and everyone thought she was gay and didn't even know what it meant. Now that was when we were all wide-eyed and innocent. Yeah, I totally get that. You know, I think the first time I ever saw anything about that, I don't think it wasn't mentioned in school. I was 17 and going to the universities for interviews. And I went to this university and it was like, and here's a copy of the university paper. And there was this thing about it. And I thought, oh, fair enough. Never batted an eyelid. Never batted an eyelid. I can only assume it's like coming from somewhere else, either generational or the tribe that you're with don't appreciate it. But live and let live, and we'd all be better off. You always used to associate it with Christianity. I don't know about that. I've never seen her. We haven't got rainbow stickers, have we? Bishop would go mad. But it's not an issue. It's absolutely not an issue. At our church, anyway. Definitely not. No problem at all with that. So how's the game going, Mike?
0-0.
Oh, so they're doing well at the moment. Mm. It started well. Well, we better go and get something to eat, hadn't we? Seen as though I've only just finished a mouthful of lunch from earlier. Oh, well, at least you shared Boris with us. If we're suffering, so are you guys. When we work out what he said, we'll let you know.
Thank you, Kim.
The Seahawks won the other night, didn't they, Kim? I knew that. I kept that open and the following morning there it was and I thought, yes. I've no idea what any of it means, obviously. But I know touchdowns are involved at some point. I must see some highlights at some point and that will give me some kind of clue as to what's going on. You're probably the same with football. Why don't they just pick it up and throw it? We often wonder that. Oh, it was a good game. Excellent. I'm more interested in how they play. If they play well, I'm happy. Now, Mike's more interested in 3 points. Only this is a cup match, isn't it? Mm. Isn't it the tin pot?
Yeah.
It's the tin pot tonight. Is it the League Cup?
Yeah.
That's now the Carabao Cup. Mm. You don't say Carabao, do you?
Carabao, isn't it?
I can't remember how you pronounce it. But anyway, it's the tin pot cup. So we'll let you know tomorrow how they got on. You'll know from Mike's attitude, you'll know. Can't say any better than that. And hopefully by then the live banner will be fixed. But if not, we might have to do the old manual one. We'll see how we go. Oh, you had a massive whinge and feel much better, Simon. Excellent. We are here to listen to your whinges because they're so entertaining. Now, go and carry on with part two with Mrs. Simon. And there you go. Dr. Kim says pandas all round and then we'll all feel much, much better. Do you know, the BBC would have got a bigger audience if they'd have put the pandas on for 10 minutes rather than Boris Boy. But never mind. He's been and gone now, and it's as you were. As you were, as far as we're concerned, because we weren't doing silly things like going on holiday. Just saying. But we will be back with you tomorrow. So for the moment, it's good night from me.
And good night from me.
And we'll both see you next time. Stay safe, guys.